Let me ask you this morning, are you all in with Jesus? I doubt when ESPN began to conduct that interview with the Oklahoma softball team, they realized they were going to hear about Jesus Christ. But what about us? What about the people we meet in the community, in the workplace? Are we telling people about Jesus Christ? Are we standing up for our faith? Are we living out the values? When we come to church, do we learn? Or are we just going through a service? I want to tell you, if you're just going through a service, you're wasting your time. God does business with those who mean business. And I hope you mean business with God here this morning. Amen. We're talking about getting clean and staying clean, living in a world of sin. This is the second message, and God has given seven principles in this particular passage of Scripture, three that we discussed last week, and we're going to get to these other four here this morning. But Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." What are your works going to earn you? What will Jesus Christ be giving to you? How will he be rewarding you? Now, God is speaking to us from his holy word on how to get clean and stay clean, living in a world of sin. And last week, we spoke on the first of three of the seven principles God has outlined for us in his word, the principle of purification, the principle of determination, and the principle of fortification. And today we're going to discover the final four principles that will help us get clean and stay clean living in a world of sin. But as we begin here this morning, I want to ask you a few more questions. Are you as clean before God as you can be? And if you're not as clean before God as you can be, what are you prepared to do about it? Have you determined in your mind, with God's help, that you will stay clean? Are you fortifying your mind with the Word of God? Or are you allowing the devil to groove a rut in your mind that'll lead you to destruction? And again, I will remind you that God does business with those who mean business. Be finding in your Bibles this morning, Psalm 119. We're going to begin in verse 9 and be looking down through verse 16. And please rise, if you will, as we honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with the reading of his word here this morning. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." That's the principle of purification. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." That's the principle of determination. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's the principle of fortification. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I pray again, Lord, grant us that we are sitting here this morning to learn. Grant us that we have a teachable spirit. Grant unto us that we have an ear to hear. And grant unto us that the wanter of our life would want to be glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, may you be first in our lives. May we be obeying the commandment to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May we come to realize this old world has nothing to offer us, and may we understand we're not to be getting comfortable here because this world is not our home. Lord, help us to put these 7 principles into practice that we can get clean and stay clean living in a world of sin. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. Principle number 4 for getting clean and staying clean, living in a world of sin, is the principle of vitalization. The principle of vitalization is you asking God, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Friends, a psalmist here is teaching that we turn fortification into prayer. We say, now, O God, now, O God, you teach me. Can I ask you, how many of you have a daily devotional life? How many of you, before you begin, say, now, O God, I'm about ready to open up your word. Teach me, O Lord. Well, how many of you just open it up and read a passage, close it up and say, got it done for the day? Not much teaching can happen in that kind of a mind, can it? Teach me, O God, that I might learn. It is our choosing. And I cannot say this enough. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. And as long as I have life and breath, I'll say it over and over again. Life is a series of choices. What are you choosing to do? You've got to choose to learn from God. You've got to choose to love God. You've got to choose to put God first in everything. And the psalmist is teaching that we've got to turn fortification into prayer. Oh, Lord, teach me. God, put your hand upon me. You see, facts and memories, remember we talked about that last week, principle of fortification, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But friends, facts and memory are not enough, and that includes even Bible facts. You cannot separate the word of God from the God of that word, and you must pray, oh God, make it real in my heart. We just heard from a softball team, and the word of God is real in their heart. It's real to them. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will take the word of God, which is living. This is a living word. When you pick up the Bible, this is a living word. And when you pick up that living word, it's alive and it'll just vitalize you. There was a man who was a brand new Christian. He was being mentored by another man named Charlie. And Charlie was his Bible teacher, and they enjoyed great fellowship together. And it's always good to have a mentor who can teach you the Word of God. But one day this man was reading the Scripture, and Charlie was nowhere to be found. And he read this, and he said, I wonder what this means. Maybe I better write this down. Boy, when Charlie comes back, I'm going to ask Charlie what this means. And then he felt this on his shoulder, and the Holy Spirit said to him, who do you think taught Charlie? Why don't you ask me? You can pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy law. Vitalize it. Make it real. Prayerlessness is bad enough. But what prayerlessness reveals and indicates is even worse. Do you know what prayerlessness is? It is us saying to God, sit this one out. I can handle life on my own. No. There isn't a single person in here who has the strength, the wisdom, or the ability to handle life on their own. You're breathing right now because the Spirit of God has given you breath. You're sitting where you're sitting because the Spirit of God has given you the ability to do so. There isn't anything we can do for ourselves. We need the help of God. As the psalmist said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him out of all his troubles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, teach me. Make it real. Because I'll tell you, rattling off memory verses is not enough. Those verses don't come alive until you put them into action. And if all you do is show up at church and go to a Sunday school class and say, oh, that was nice, or come in here and listen to a sermon and walk out here today and say, well, Pastor, that was a little harsh. You stepped on my toes today. Understand, I don't care nothing about your toes. I care about your heart, and you need to get your heart right with God. You need to put the Word of God in action. You need to live the faith you say you have. And there's a fifth principle, and it's the principle of verbalization. And there's not a better illustration of the principle of verbalization than what we saw prior to my coming up here this morning. Keep the Word of God on your lips. Why is it we can go out and talk about football, talk about baseball, talk about the weather, talk about this, talk about that, but we're not talking about Jesus, and then we wonder why people don't come to church? We're talking about everything, but the most important thing, we ought to be talking about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how wonderful the name. The psalmist speaks about the Word of God in our heart. He said, take the Word of God and hide it in your heart. But then he talks about the Word of God on your lips. Look at verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Begin to verbalize it. When you memorize it, you vitalize it, then you verbalize it. Confession and profession are linked together. You take the Word of God and you begin to download it, and you download it to other people, and you just take it and you speak it out loud to God, and you just might sing. We sang the Word of God this morning in some of the songs, and they were direct quotations of the Word of God, and singing Scripture is one of the best things that you can do. But to have the Word of God in your heart and on your mouth and on your lips, why is that? Because there's a symbiotic relationship. The Word of God goes from the heart to the mouth out, and from the mouth back to the heart, and one builds upon another. As you move in and out among brothers and sisters, you verbalize the Word of God. And friend, when you begin to give the Word of God away, the Word of God sticks to you. Did you know that? When you talk about the God of the Word, that Word comes back and it just sticks on you. Do you know there's a kind of secret that preachers have? And oh, it's a blessed secret. We have the opportunity, and oh, what a blessed opportunity it is to preach the Word of God. And you know, when you get to preach the Bible, there's nothing better. There's just something so wonderful that happens. It's a reflector. And I'm saying to you, you cannot study for a sermon. You cannot prepare for a sermon. You cannot think about a sermon. You cannot pray about a sermon. You can't even preach about a sermon without it just saturating your heart and your mind. It's just a trade secret. And then you give your testimony to others. We need to have accountability, and we need to share the Word of God. We need to put the Word of God on our lips. Not only do we need to vitalize it, Lord, teach me, but we verbalize it. We begin to share it with other people. And somehow, speaking the very word of God, it just gives us force. You'll read in the book of Revelation where the early Christians were at warfare with Satan. And the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. You can give your testimony to yourself. Don't just give your testimony to other people. You need to wake up in the morning. You need to give your testimony to yourself. You got to remind yourself daily. Boy, when your feet hit the floor, you look up and you say, I belong to you, Lord Jesus. You are mine. You are my God. You are my creator. You are my sustainer. You are my rock. You are my salvation. You are my God. You are my Alpha, my Omega, the beginning and the end. You are my all in all. And I love you today, Jesus. Have you ever given your testimony to yourself? Now don't wake up and walk around bleary-eyed looking for the coffee pot and saying, good Lord, it's morning. No, get up and say, good morning, Lord. I am yours and you are mine. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. You just got to speak it to yourself. You know, half the people who go around wondering all down in the dumps, the reason they're down in the dumps because they haven't talked to God about who they are. They've forgotten who they belong to and they've forgotten who they are. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that go around with their chin below the wheelbarrow. It used to say Christians had their chin in a wheelbarrow. You know, they were so down out of the people in the world, it ought to be the most happiest, most excited, most joyful people in all the world. It ought to be the child of the living God. But we go around half the time complaining about this, complaining about that, crying out, oh, woe is me. Used to be the preacher have to try to get their chin out of the wheelbarrow. Now it's gotten so bad their chin's below the wheelbarrow. You got to pick it up so they don't run over it with a tire. We need to get excited about Jesus today. We need to be excited about the faith that we have. Do you realize one day heaven's going to shout, the trump's going to sound, and we're going home. Hallelujah. And then you need to give your testimony to the devil. The next time Satan gets on your tail and he's following you and he's talking to you about some dirty fault you have, something you've done, some foul thing, some temptation you've caved to, you can say this to him: when your heart is clean, when you've done that purification, when you've done that determination, when you've done that fortification, when you've done that vitalization, you can look the old devil right in the eye and you can tell him what Jesus said: get thee behind me, Satan. You've got no part in me. You're a dirty liar. You're a liar from the beginning. You're a murderer. You're a deceiver. And I want no part of you. You get behind me. I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords. I'm standing on the Word, and the Word is in me, and the Word is triumphing because Jesus can triumph over you. Oh, get behind me, Satan. All he is, friend, is a defeated liar. That's all he is. Do you understand that? All the devil is a defeated liar when he comes after you. Do you realize what he's doing? He's trying to trespass on his on our Father's property. You belong to God. And when you belong to God, Satan has no part in you. He can have no part of you. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus said to Satan, you be gone, and he's gone. You overcome Satan by the Word of God. But friend, you got to know the Word of God so you can quote the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness three times, Satan came after him. Do you know what Jesus quoted? He didn't argue with him. You see, that's where a lot of people get in trouble. They begin to argue with Satan. You don't argue with the devil. You can't talk to a fool. You ever try to argue with a fool before? You can't win that argument. You just quote to him the Word of God. He can't take that. He cannot take a Christian who's quoting the Word of God. The Bible tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Learn to verbalize the Word of God. Sent me that video clip yesterday. And I thought, that video clip is the best illustration of this message that anybody could have ever given. But who do you think put it in their hearts to speak about Jesus? God is real to those girls. He lives in their hearts. You cannot watch it without being humbled. And they're not ashamed to tell people that it is Jesus. They're not ashamed to say we're all in with Jesus. They're not ashamed to say when we look up, we're looking up to Jesus. That's who we need to be. That's how we need to be. We need to be telling people about Jesus. And if you can't shout amen to that, I feel sorry for you. The sixth principle is the principle of evaluation. Remember your true riches. Psalm 119, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And Moses is an example to us. Moses, the Bible teaches, made a decision. And we must make the same decision. Moses saw the pleasures of sin. And Moses saw the riches of Jesus Christ. And he made an evaluation. Some of you are in trouble today. Some of you are living defeated lives because you've not yet come to that place where you're ready to make an evaluation. Some people are trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. Some people know what God's Word says, and yet they refuse to submit to the Word of God. They battle in their heart. They've not yet determined. They've not yet made an evaluation. Moses made an evaluation, and he saw the pleasures of sin. And he saw the riches of Christ. But then he made a choice. And life is about choices. And after he made the choice, the Bible says of Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the pleasures of sin for a season, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God because he esteemed the riches of Christ greater than all the pleasures of Egypt. Do you esteem what Jesus has for you better than all the treasures and pleasures this world can offer? Oh, I hope so. If today's generation is going to make an evaluation, do you know what that requires of me? What it requires of you? It requires that we be a good example of what it means to be a Christian and teach them God's Word. Friend, who wants to give up diamonds for dirt? Who wants to eat swill when they can feed on manna and nectar? If we could only get people to think. There has to be a choice. There has to be an evaluation. You've got to choose who you are going to serve. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You realize you can only serve one kingdom. You can't go out and live in the world and serve the kingdom of Christ. If you're trying to do that, you're deceiving your own self. You either serve Christ by picking up your cross and putting away those things that the Bible teaches are evil and wrong, but you can't hang on to what is evil and wrong and serve Christ. You must choose. Jesus doesn't give His glory or share His glory with another. You must choose. You must choose the true riches, and I hope that you will. You must choose to be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a mind that is feeding on trash is a mind that is hungry. And where I come from, I've seen people eating out of a literal dumpster. They're dumpster diving, looking for scraps of food and containers. What would cause a man to dive into a dumpster? Number one, he's hungry. Number two, he has no sense of shame. Why would a person put garbage in their mouth when they're hungry? The point is, you don't have to be hungry. You can feed on Jesus. Many Christians are starving today because they do not feed on the Word of God. You don't have to be out in the back alley somewhere eating with the devil's billy goats when you can be feasting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, when you see what you have in Jesus, I mean when you see with the eyes of faith what you have in Jesus, let me ask you, what does this world have to offer you? The problem is too many people aren't seeing what they have in Jesus because their eyes are not on Jesus. Their eyes are on everything but Jesus. You need to get your eyes on Jesus. You need to look up and see. What do you see when you look up? That's a good question, isn't it? I know what I see when I look up. What do you see when you look up? The final principle is this. It's the principle of meditation. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, I shared with you when I opened last week that in today's world, people forget 95% of what they hear within the first 72 hours. But the psalmist here says, I will not forget thy word. Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say it with a smile because somebody told me if you can say anything you want as long as you're smiling, I'm going to say it with a smile. Some of you are in here this morning. You're hearing this message. But as soon as church is over, you're going to walk right out that door and you're going to forget everything that you've heard. If the pastor was to call you up at about 2 o'clock this afternoon and say, hey, brother, sister, what did I preach on this morning? You know what I'm going to hear? I don't know. It was good. Meditation is a powerful, powerful force to keep the mind pure. There are time, quietness, concentration. God and thinking about it to do something wonderful for your thought life. Meditate that has the thought of a cow chewing on cud. You know, I have a wonderful house that the church has provided. And that's such a beautiful place. And right across the street, the Sykes brothers got a bunch of cattle. And oh, how I love to watch the cattle because they are such wonderful teachers. And so I was watching. You know, a cow has four stomachs. And they eat, and they eat, and they eat. That's all they do. They eat, eat, and eat. And those cows are getting fat. Well, then after a while, they get so full of grass, they got to lay down. And they just lay down, and they just start moving their jaws and chewing and chewing and chewing away. You know what they're doing? They're chewing the cud. No, that's what we say. No, that cow's over there meditating. They've taken it all in. And when you take in the Word of God, you just got to sit down and you got to chew the cud. You got to chew it over. First you ingest it, then you got to digest it. And to do that means you got to chew on it for a while. Just think how much better you'd be if you'd go out of here this afternoon and forget that big fancy dinner and sat down and began to chew the cud of what you ingested here this morning. Maybe we'd all walk a little bit closer with Jesus, amen? You see, sometimes you just got to turn it over and over and over in your mind. You do that long enough, you know what you're going to find yourself thinking when you go to bed? You're going to be thinking about the Word of God. You know what you're going to find when you wake up in the morning? You're going to be thinking about the Word of God. And at night when those dreams come, you know what's going to come? Instead of them awful dreams, it's going to be the Word of God turning over and over again in your mind, because that's what you're feeding yourself with. You ain't feeding yourself with the junk on the television. You're feeding yourself with the Word of God, and you're just chewing on it, chewing on it, chewing on it. And I'm just simply saying to you, if you're going to get clean and you're going to stay clean living in this world of sin, God has shown us there's only one way to do it. It's right here. The principle of purification. The principle of determination. The principle of fortification. The principle of vitalization. The principle of verbalization. The principle of evaluation. The principle of meditation. Memorize these. Write them down by the verses in your Bible. Act on them. Apply them to your life. And you'll be well on your way to getting clean and staying clean, living in a world of sin. And you know why you need to do that? Because one day, you're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We all have an appointment awaiting. We don't know when it's going to be. And we're not all going at once. Some have already gone before. But friend, one day you're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What do you want to hear? How many of you want to hear, "Well done"? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, friend, if we're going to be well done, we've got to act on the Word of God. It'll be worth it when we hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Now, I just want to share this and then I'm going to be through. There's not a person alive who can teach what they do not do. Not a person alive who can teach what they do not do. And so I'm just going to say it this way. Don't you be a hypocrite. Go out and try to teach something to your family or to your children that you yourself do not practice. God will get you for that. You get your heart right. You get your heart clean. You guard your heart so that you can protect your home. Then you take your children, and I don't care what age your children are. You take your children and you walk your children through this. And you teach them that they don't have to let the devil put a dirty rut in their mind. You teach your children they can get clean, they can stay clean living in a world of sin. And remember this, God does business with those who mean business. And I pray you came to church this morning because you wanted to do business with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus Christ Himself. Father, we thank You for Your Word to us today. We thank You for these seven principles. Seven principles that will help us have a complete, faithful walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today that we did not come just to go through a church service, just to hear a message. I pray that we've come today to get our hearts right with Jesus Christ. I pray for every person who's been within earshot of this message that not a single one of us would fall short in any way, shape, or form before our God. I pray that every one of us would get our hearts pure, that we would be determined to keep our hearts pure by fortifying our hearts with the Word of God. Lord, I pray that every one of us would pray that You would make Your Word real to us. And the evidence of that would be that we go out into the community and we talk among our families about the wonderful things that Jesus is doing in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would feed on Jesus. I pray that we would not forget Your Word unto us. Lord, help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And I pray that not a single soul would go out of here deceived today. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be here today who is trying to live in the world, live against what Your Word says is wrong by doing wrong. Lord, that I pray that they would humble themselves and repent and rededicate themselves to serve the Lord God with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength. Lord, if there's any among us who are lost, I pray they would come and receive, choose for Jesus today. I hope their heart will say, I will, and not I won't. And I pray for us today as a church. Oh, Lord, help us to be a church who are about our Father's business. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, you come and lead us. If God has spoken to your heart today, you come. Don't delay.